Amen. Amen. I invite you to take your Bible and turn with me to page 921. If you're using the Bible in front of your row there, that's going to be Acts 13. Acts 13 is where we've been the last couple of weeks. As you turn into Acts 13, by the way, if you don't have a Bible, take that one that's in front of you. That'll be our gift to you. Acts 13 is on 921 in that Bible in the row in front of you. And as you turn into Acts 13, I want to just tell you a story that came to my mind when I was studying this particular passage of Scripture. I moved to Dallas from Waco back in 1989, and I grew up in Waco, and that's where my mom and dad still live, and so my roots are there. And before I moved to Dallas, about the year before I moved, I think it was like in 97, I was driving home from work one day, the way that I normally would drive home from work, and down Highway 84, and I exited where I always exit, and then come to the stop sign there, and now I usually take a left to go back underneath the 84 overpass, okay? So you got the picture there. I'm in my truck. I've exited like I normally do. It's just a regular day. And I'm turning left, and as I'm about to go underneath the 84 overpass, kind of this bridge there, all of a sudden, this car that's on top of the road up here on 84 that's about to hit the bridge just drives off of the highway and drives off of the bridge. And I'm having one of those, oh my goodness, I just saw a car drive off the road and off the bridge and boom, land right in front of where I was about to drive. So I put my truck in park and I get out my flip phone, because that's what I had in 1997, this flip phone. It was a big flip phone too. I mean, it could also, you know, be used as a shield if anybody was going to shoot me with an arrow or something. It was a big flip phone, and I get my flip phone out, and I'm dialing 911. I don't know all of the things that were happening with that person that drove off of the road there. I just knew it wasn't good. That probably is not what meant to happen that day. And so I'm dialing 911. These other guys in this car are pulled off, and they're running up. We're all running up, and there's a lady that's just out cold in the front seat. Nobody's in the passenger seat. There's two children in car seats in the back seat. And we're like going, this isn't good. This is not a good thing. Because then we begin to smell and see smoke coming up from underneath the hood. We begin to smell gasoline. And we're like going, you know, we're not trained in this, but we're going to do something right now. And so we get the lady out of the car, the two kids out of the car. We're walking them away from the car when boom, I mean, the thing blows up. It goes up in flames. And she just went right off the bridge, crashed. Bam, right there. Now, luckily, nobody was hurt badly. The lady apparently passed out, blacked out as she was driving, and just drove her car with her kids right off the road. And I thought about that scene when I was reading through and studying through Acts 13. This Acts 13, in the middle of Acts, this is the first sermon that we have recorded by the Apostle Paul. We started it last week. We're going to pick up where we left off in verse 26. If you missed last week, or if you've slept last week, some of them are already gone. God bless you. Just don't snore. I got a pocket full of Skittles. I'm going to drop it right in. I played basketball in high school. Boy, I hit that third row right there. Boom. There's a reason I brought my phone up here today, too. I may get some good pictures to put on the Arapahoe Road Facebook page today. We'll just see. We'll just see. So if you've slept since we were in this message last week, Paul's first sermon that's recorded, what we said is that as Paul is preaching to his audience at the synagogue at Antioch in Pisidia, they were on a mission trip. He and Barnabas were on a mission trip, and he's communicating with his audience who would have understand the story, their faith story of their forefathers, their ancestors. And so he's taking them back to the start, and he's showing them how all these people God has put in your path from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all the way back to the start, through the prophets, through the kings, and all of them have been a signpost that are pointing people to a Messiah that they've been waiting for. And what Paul's going to do today is show us that that Messiah's name is Jesus. He's the one. He's the destination. All signs point to Jesus. So Acts 13, Paul is helping a group of people understand that their history leads somewhere. It leads to someone. It leads to a Messiah. And God has put people in our lives, we said, who have been signposts in our own lives. There's probably been some signposts that God's put in our students' lives this weekend that they intersected and they've said some things to you and they've pointed you toward Jesus. And so when you tell the story of your life, you will talk about some of the people that God's put in your life, and it may be a leader that was in your home this weekend, or maybe it was Afshin Ziafat who spoke the other night, or Wes Hamilton who spoke last night, and they're pointing people to Jesus. Maybe it's Scott Partridge who's just been walking alongside going this way to the kingdom. Who has God put in your life, in your past, that are pointing you toward Jesus, pointing you toward the King? And Jesus is this fulfillment that the audience has been waiting for. And the deal is this: Paul knows that if they don't see the connection, that Jesus is the destination. Not only is he the destination, he's the bridge that leads to life and truth. Then everybody they're talking to, everybody he's talking to, is eventually just going to keep looking in the rearview mirror going, look at all these great people in the past. I wonder who it's going to be. And they're going to drive right off of the bridge. And they're going to have a story that's a crash and burn story. And Paul doesn't want that to happen. And so we pick the story back up in the middle of Paul's sermon, verse 26. And we're going to read what Paul said about this bridge that leads to life. Jesus, the Savior that all the signs have been pointing toward. And we pick it up in the middle in verse 26, and Paul's still preaching. He says, brothers, sons of the family of Abraham, the signposts of Abraham, and those among you who fear God, to us has been sent the message of this salvation, this bridge that leads to life and truth. For those who live in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not recognize him, Jesus, they didn't recognize him nor understand the utterance of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath, they fulfilled them by condemning him, by condemning Jesus. Verse 28, and though they found in him, in Jesus, no guilt worthy of death, that's Isaiah 53, though they found in him no guilt worthy of death, they asked Pilate to have him executed. And when they had carried out all that was written of him, prophesied about him, the Savior, the Messiah, Jesus, then they took him down from the tree. They took him down from the cross, and they laid him in a tomb. But God raised him up from the dead. And for many days he appeared to those who had come up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are now his witnesses to the people. They're signposts to the people. And we bring you the good news that what God promised to the fathers, this he has fulfilled to us, their children, by raising Jesus. As also it's written in the second psalm, he's going to take them back to some things they already know. They already memorized this verse in Awana, okay? You are my son. Today I've been begotten. I've begotten you. And for the fact that he raised him from the dead, no more to return to corruption, he's spoken in this way: I'll give you the holy and sure blessing of David. Therefore, he says also in another psalm, you will not let your Holy One see corruption. For David, I love this verse. For David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation. Students, if you'll just do that, you'll be living the life God wants you to live. Just serve the purpose of God in your generation. And after David had served the purpose of God in his own generation, he fell asleep. Some of you are already there. Sleep on. And he was laid to rest with his fathers, and he saw corruption, but he whom God raised up, he didn't see corruption. All right, get ready for the bridge. Here comes the bridge. Verse 38. Paul says, let it be known to you, therefore, brothers, that through this man, through Jesus, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you, and by him Everyone who believes is freed from everything from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses. Just by keeping all the laws, doing the religious dance to try to get the religious hug by God. He says, none of that's going to happen. You can't be good enough. You got to drive across the bridge of life and truth, and his name is Jesus. If you don't drive across that bridge, you're going to live a crash and burn life trying to keep all the rules, and you just can't do it. You just can't do it. The faster you go, the loster you get, as one friend of mine used to say. Anybody got dads in here that won't go and ask for directions? They just drive faster. The faster you go, the loster you get. Not real good English, but real good practical experience there. And he's saying, don't just keep trying to be good enough. You got to drive your life across the bridge of faith. Verse 40, beware. Therefore, lest what is said in the prophets should come about. Look, you scoffers, be astounded and perish, for I'm doing a work in your days, a work that you will not believe, even if one tells it to you. And man, he just blew everybody away, and they're so connected with him. Church lets out, and look what happens in verse 42. And as they went out, the people begged that these things might be told them the next Sabbath. And after the meeting of the synagogue broke up, many Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas. Signposts. They followed them. Who, as they spoke with them, urged them to continue in the grace of God. Man, these people, I'm telling you, these people, this first century audience that Paul was preaching to, they knew these message, these stories that he was referring to, that he was pointing back to. They knew that. And when Paul was helping them see, these people in your past are all signposts that are pointing to the Messiah, and the Messiah's name is Jesus, the one who was killed in Jerusalem, on the tree. They took him down. They laid him in a tomb. He rose again. There's witnesses out there. And they're all signposts going, this really happened. And Paul is connecting the dots. He's making sure the bridge isn't out, but the bridge is strong and sturdy. And he's saying, drive your life across this bridge. It's the truth. And if you do, you will be forgiven, i.e., you will not live a crash and burn kind of life. That's what Paul's saying in his message. And some of us are sitting here going, wow, he said all that? He did. He said all that. Because the context of his audience is sitting there going, I get all this stuff in the Old Testament that you've just pointed me back to. And it makes sense. Jesus, and many came to faith in Christ. Many Jews and God-fearing Gentiles in that first century sermon responded and drove their life across the bridge of faith of Jesus Christ, and it totally changed the outcome of their eternal destination. And I know what you're thinking. What about a 21st century Texan that didn't get all that? What? I mean, that's a neat story you told. But how do we know everything that's in here is really reliable? How do we know it's credible? How do we know it's accurate? How do we know this thing is true? How do we really know that the Word of God, the Bible, really is the Word of God? How do we know that this is trustworthy? And that's really where I want to go for the rest of my time with you today. That's what I want us to look at today. Because Paul's audience was already there. They already viewed the Scriptures as authoritative, as credible, as trustworthy. And they responded by putting their faith, hope, and trust in the Messiah, the one they'd been waiting for. It was an aha moment for so many of them. But what about us 20 centuries later? How can we make that same jump in understanding? How can we How can we realistically believe that the Bible is accurate and reliable and credible? How can we really believe this is a road of truth that will lead our lives not to crashing and burning in the end, not just driving blindly off the faith road bridge that leads hopefully to God? How can we know? See, I believe many of us in the room today would say, we believe in the Bible. We believe in the Bible. But the truth is, many in our community and in our world do not believe that the Bible is accurate. Dan Brown, the author of The Da Vinci Code and Angels and Demons, Inferno, The Lost Symbol, really wrote some profound words that connected with me a few years ago, and I bring it back to you today. He wrote these words. He said, "The Bible is a product of man, my dear, not of God. The Bible did not fall magically from the clouds. Man created it as a historical record of tumultuous times, and it has evolved through countless translations, additions, and revisions. History has never had a definitive version of the book." That perspective is kind of disturbing to me.